Well, there you go. It worked. Good morning. No, good afternoon, even, everyone. It's the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all the big Apple stories that have gone on in the week. And after some serious issues today with Zoom, it was being a right little beggar. Controls missing, but Patrice sorted that out. Apparently, control backslash, the one you never use, backslash, and it all comes back. So, but it still wouldn't let me give Chuck permission to join and to record. And oh, my life. Joining me, full ash tonight. Mr. Joyner, how the devil are you?
I'm great, Ewan. Good to be back. I missed you guys.
Did you enjoy your week's vacation last week?
I very much did. I stayed offline almost all the time, which is kind of a rarity, but
good.
Wasn't that bad. The only trouble was coming back to all those emails.
I've taken a day off your BTN holiday allocation, though, so you're down a day.
Okay, thank you.
No, listen, rules are rules, mate.
Glad you're keeping track of me, yeah.
And if you don't look after it, we'll send HR. Will send you a letter.
I must be in minuses.
Yeah, you're mate.
Yeah, you got to do some extra shifts to.
You're doing the show on your own next 3 weeks.
Fair
dressed as five different people with hats that you flip on and off. The hat that's going to be the most fun is Jeff's. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing great, and I have to point out, this is the difference between the workforce in the United States and in other countries. When you informed Chuck that you were taking something away from him, he replied, thank you.
Yeah.
In other countries, it'd be like, what the hell? Give me back what you just took from me.
It'd be another word ending in you, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's
holiday.
It's holiday time. It's off his holiday allocation. The number of days he's allowed to not be at BTN.
Hey, there was a moose in Boulder.
What?
That's a big old thing.
Yeah.
I know they're a big thing.
They're really big. Like bigger than horses.
Yeah,
and they are big.
You can't climb on one.
Well, you can try, but only once.
True. Yeah. So it was in Boulder, down like in the high street, or
it was just north of downtown, and it was just kind of roaming around through one of the neighborhoods, and everyone was like, "What the hell is this?"
It's a moose. Even I know a moose. God, I don't live there.
Well, the big surprise was that it was a moose. I mean, you know, we're used to the bears and the deer and the mountain lions and the coyotes and the foxes and the raccoons just all over town. You know, sort of like a Disney Jamboree thing. But we haven't seen a moose in town before now.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I follow a woman called Mia Stanek. She's a photographer who does most amazing pictures of the Northern Lights. And she lives in Kiruna in Sweden, right up in the Arctic Circle. And she put pictures up a few weeks ago of moose. And I was like, oh, wow. Because I'd always assumed moose would be like an American animal, but it's not. No, it's all over there. So. And the car that she got a picture of it next to, the car down looked like it would nearly have passed underneath. Mm-hmm. It was huge.
But have you been bitten by a moose? That's the question.
Have I been bitten by a moose?
Yeah.
Is this a translation issue?
No, that's
You've got a different animal in your head.
That's a Monty Python one.
Oh, okay. Someone dropped a Monty Python bomb last night. I didn't get it. And that's another one today now. I feel deficient because he's supposed to, when you're my age, you're supposed to get Monty Python references.
You are. Anyway. Maybe we should throw the low-hanging fruit Monty Python lines at you.
Yeah, come back, I'll bite you, bastard. That kind of stuff would be all right, but someone put a picture on Twitter, and it was a picture of like almost a Lego, but it wasn't Lego, knight, and then one on the floor with him pulled apart. And someone said, you won't get this unless you're over 40. And I got that Monty Python reference.
But it's only a flesh wound.
Yeah, absolutely. Next to him, Patrice, how you doing, Mrs.?
Doing good. I'm doing well. It's Friday. I'm very happy. Tomorrow, I'm going out with my team for the first time in over a year. So I'm very happy.
Okay. I'm going to be keeping watch out the window, by the way, because I've got a bottle of whiskey arriving from Amazon today, and I need to show my identification, otherwise they won't give it to kids. We've tried that before, but they will not leave bottles of whiskey with 12-year-olds, unfortunately. So I might have to just pop out of the door.
What backwards country do you live in?
Oh, yeah, I mean, she could come to your place and, well, you're in no position to talk. She can buy a frigging gun in your place and can't get a drink till for another 9 years.
Yes, this is true.
Yeah, you can keep that mud firmly in your pocket, young man.
Yep. I deserve that smackdown.
Yeah, you did.
Or at least my country does.
No, your dumb gun laws did. Yeah. And if there's anyone listening offended by that, well. Next to that, David, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Good to be back. And looking forward to I'm going on vacation next week. So I'm looking forward to that. And
I love the fact that you and Chuck haven't let the insurance industry fall completely flat on its face this year. Staggering holidays.
We had to stagger our vacations.
Staggered, right.
Yeah. I'm not saying you're not the most important people in American insurance, but...
No, they're the most important people in American insurance.
The most important insurance people on this podcast. How's that?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'll go that far.
Did you send a request to HR for next week off, though, Dave? Because I'm not sure they'll approve it at late notice now.
I might not have. I might have to send that in.
Just send it in on the phone. Yeah. And last but by no means least, where the bloody hell have you been, lad?
Shalom. Max, haven't I?
Yeah, and a lot of them by the sound.
Yeah, we've been really busy. It's died down a bit this week, so
a company called I Mend Max were busy mending Max. Who would know? Hey, who knew?
Crazy, isn't it? Crazy. No, but it's
be good.
It's been a really busy couple of weeks here, and just starting to see the end of it now. But going into next week, it'll get busier again. So yeah,
you're not the only one doing repairs, though, are you?
No, we've got David now, who you saw earlier, beheaded, floating past.
But is he going to sub for you when you're not available?
I'll have to ask him, but probably not.
Oh, okay. He's not arrogant and gregarious like you.
I almost sent someone over to you again from here, but Brexit, so it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But we had to. There's someone here in Linz that has the same problem I had with the repair shop here, and I'm like... if you're in the UK, I know some place to go.
No, just give them the option. It's their choice. It's their money then, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, but they've already spent €1,200 to get something not really fixed, so.
Ouch.
Oof. Man.
Two repairs and it's still broken.
A fix, no fee. It's the way right. Forward.
Me whiskey's 8 stops away.
Good. So we're on the whiskey countdown show.
We need a nice long story next.
Oh, shit. 7 stops away now.
We need whiskey life tracking.
7 stops away. So
it's
likely to arrive during
the show. Do you reckon the whiskey's got an air tag on it?
I don't know if I could actually physically show this on the screen. It'd be nice to, wouldn't it? No, but never mind. The week in Apple, all the stuff that's gone on then. I've got probably the story of the week, I would say. It's incredible. Apple TV, what kind of service is that? Anyone?
Apple TV Plus.
What kind of service is it?
Streaming service.
Thank you. So what would a flagship show from a streaming service never do be available on DVD and Blu-ray? Yes, you heard me right.
Oh my.
The Apple streaming service has taken defending Jacob out on DVD and Blu-ray, that massive market that they missed out on by streaming it.
I could spoil the fun because it's not Apple, but
well, no, but it doesn't matter. $34.99.
It's not Apple. It's Paramount.
No, I know that. Don't ruin my joke, Patrice.
But I still don't understand because Paramount has their own streaming service. So
I'll have HR on you, mate. Gross misconduct.
He's been pulling that HR card today, I'm telling you.
No, but I just can't get over the fact that, you know, okay, great. If you really think you're missing out, then you can release the Blu-ray and the DVD. But $34.99 for something that's streamed on Apple for $4.99 because you binged it in a month, and then $19.99 for a DVD. $19.99. Oh. I can't. You can buy a player for less than that.
Actually, I bet you can. I'm going to look on Amazon right now.
I'm serious.
Yeah, oh, there's players for $20. Easy.
You're not very good at maths, are you, Dave?
$20 US on DVD, I'm talking. Blu-ray, yeah, $35 for sure. It
doesn't surprise me, mate, because every time I've got to claim off the insurance, they've never given me the full amount, so...
hey, we get paid check to make this those
calculations.
Out.
You guys are just throwing lines my way today.
Region-free DVD player with remote and cables, $16.99. Delivered tomorrow.
See? BitTorrent. send it over because I've got loads of porn on. I can't play.
Same about a bottle of whiskey.
That goes with that whiskey.
Well, there's a party right there. We've actually got a hot tub in the back because Ellis's birthday this weekend, and we've actually got a hot tub in the back with like a little disco light system it's got in it, and it, yeah, that could get bad. Fortunately, the kids are here to stop me and the wife using it exclusively. That's all I'm going to say. The other
that's actually disappointing.
The other story that I think is amazing, and I've got to say hats off to whoever's in marketing for this. You can't find a needle in a haystack, but apparently you can find your iPhone.
In a haystack?
In a haystack. Rancher uses Apple Watch to find his iPhone 12 in a haystack. It's their latest advert. I think that's
clearly
genius.
Don't watch enough television.
Absolute genius.
Didn't the Mythbusters show that you can actually find a needle in a haystack?
They needed a really big magnet.
There you go. Look, right? He's backing up. He's got the dog in the seat. Why the hell he's got? Oh, surely his scent is on the iPhone, and the dog could find it. I've got a tracker dog, but I had to use my Apple Watch.
Mm-hmm. Well, he forgot to name the dog AirTag, therefore the dog would not go look for his phone.
There we go. The dog's called AirTag.
I'm sure he's going to show me how. But how do you lose an iPhone in a haystack?
Like a needle.
No, but you don't. He's just so his iPhone's been in there overnight, clearly.
No, no, he's driven he's away driven. From it, and he's just stopped, and he's driving. He reversed all the way back because his road's not. He's the only person for about 12,000 miles, and he's reversed instead of turning around.
And also, as well, Zoom keeps trying to put your beard on him,
which was pretty funny.
and it was amazing because it was reachable as well.
Yeah, it was right next to the camera that was recording where his phone was.
Yeah, and it's not dusty at all. Like, not a speck of dust on it.
No, well, it's IP99, which is hay-proof. Right.
That's right.
Wow, hey. This is...
Right, so serious stories then. First one, we did talk a little bit about it last night on the big show, but really the bigger response is probably going to come from Apple to this, and that is that Biden has told the FTC that they must start legislation for right to repair rules that have to go across. I mean, I think we really need to start with Callum on this one, because
this is the difference between you being
a millionaire and only a thousandaire in a few years' time.
It's absolutely huge, and I think that as well, combined with Steve Wozniak coming out this week in some level of support of it as well. It's absolutely huge.
I'm glad
huge.
You finished that sentence, and so was really.
Yeah, it's moving in the right direction for us in our industry. I mean, people who do what we do want different levels of change. To be honest with you, an outcome from it, I would be quite happy if... Once Apple stop fixing the device, they release the schematics. I think that would be a really great start. But having access to parts and things like that.
So, are you defending them there, Callum? Then for an exclusivity period.
I would. The only reason why I would say that is because obviously there is a certain level of proprietary information. So if you do release these schematics, how is it going to affect you in terms of competition? But after a period of 5 years when Apple say, no, we won't fix it anyway, I think it's fair enough for them to go, yeah, we will release the schematics so a third party can look after you, and we will release spare parts as well.
After 2 years...
Personally, I think that would be reasonable, but...
After 2 years, the competition has to reverse engineer it anyway, so...
Exactly.
Not even 2 years.
So,
but, I mean, what about plug-in parts? Because, I mean, things like some of the stuff on the motherboard is clearly obvious and plug-in, and some of the other stuff, like the screen, etc., is clearly a plug-in part. Do you defend the exclusivity on that part, or do you think that plug-in parts have to be instant?
I think they should be instant. I think with Apple, there are certain elements that are not cross-compatible between phones, such as home buttons for Touch ID and cameras for Face ID, but that has a security element, and I completely agree with that being the way it is. But I don't agree at all with, if I have an iPhone 11, put a genuine battery in it, it pops up saying the battery is potentially faulty because it's not the one the phone came with. That's wrong. You shouldn't do that. That is completely and totally wrong. So there's some things I think Apple get right for the security of the customer and the quality of the device, and I think there's some things they get wrong. You know, I could pull a part from a phone, stick it in another phone, and it might not work. That's wrong.
Yeah. So if you've got a sacrificial device that's got the same level of componentry in it, that's got to be cross-platform. You're not saying, yeah, okay, right. Yeah. Anyone else want to chime in there? Because it's going to be a case for the defense.
How about like genuine part? That I mean, anybody or like any at least repair shop can order a part, like, and just order like a proper screen and install it.
I don't think Apple would or necessarily should make their parts available straight off the bat. I think obviously you talked about a 2-year reverse engineering period, but I think, for example, you could have right now a 2012 MacBook Pro that you could take to Apple. They say, no, too old, won't touch it, sorry. Why shouldn't we be able to source that genuine part, or even Apple release the schematics or the designs for that part to a third party who can then manufacture it? They don't do that. So
I would do it like a 2-step process. The first step is that you can, like, from Apple get genuine parts, like after, like, I don't know, a year or two. Like, I mean, usually it's for a year or two, it's under warranty anyway, so it doesn't matter as much. But like, let's say after 2 years, you can, like, they start sourcing genuine parts, and then when it comes to the period, like, I think it's 5 to 7 years when it's obsolete and Apple doesn't fix it anymore, that's the point when they should just release it and say, okay, anybody can, like, here are the specs. Whoever wants to build it, build the part.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And I think, you know, Apple
giving out the specs, though, that seems to me like the sort of thing Apple would say, look, we're protecting our IP, and do that strictly or almost exclusively from a legal standpoint.
Well, I mean, the motor trade are complete bastards. Well, the motor trade are complete bastards, but they do that. You will find that they'll release. So, like, there's a thing. You guys have got Unipart, right? No?
What's in the Unipart? UK. What's
Unipart? Unipart is a business. It still runs. And it manufactures parts for obsolete cars. It has small production runs. Mm. Some of the very old stuff, they'll actually get, they'll either buy the stuff from the dissolved company, like the Jensen Interceptor or stuff like that, they'll be given them by British Leyland when they went out of business, or Rover when they went out of business, that kind of stuff. Or even they'll be saying, right, well, the manufacturer's going, right, I no longer want to support this car, therefore here's all the blueprints for how to make the oil filter, etc., to them, and they start making it. And Unipart have got quite a thriving business doing that. They still do it.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't mean like releasing it for everybody. Like, they can say, okay, any manufacturer can request it. And I mean, legally, Apple is required to give it to them. That could be one way to do it. But allowing, after 7 years, like after 7 years, the iPhone screen, I don't think the IP there is like very important anymore. Like, the industry has moved
on. Screens, pretty much, I would have said 6 months, not even 3 months.
Yeah, this is what I said. If in seven years they release the specs for the screen for an iPhone 12, I don't think it matters. Like anybody can.
I agree with you. Totally agree. Most
engineered it anyway. So
yeah, and a lot of the tech is already in use in Samsung anyway. It's mm-hmm. it's commonly developed tech, even if it's not exclusive tech.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, a lot of the parts in not necessarily now, but some older Apple devices were made by Samsung anyway. So
yeah. So that's the thing. It can't just be Apple, because Apple probably wouldn't be able to release it. It should be industry wide. Like Samsung has to release that part.
I mean, that's the thing, is if you look at the Chinese market for replacement screens and so on now, I bet that's coming from not reverse engineered, but just leaked.
Yeah, or
I mean, a huge source of our parts, and you're getting the inside track now. But a huge.
Are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure?
No. It's look. It's the worst kept secret, believe me. A huge quantity of our parts are OEM parts, which are original equipment manufacturers. So we will buy a battery that is the exact same battery, comes on the exact same production line, but just before it gets the Apple stamp on it, it gets pulled off and put in a bag and run out the factory, or stolen, or however they do it, I don't know. So it's the exact same part. It's a totally genuine part. It's just never had that Apple stamp put on it. So therefore, we can buy it.
They run the Apple batteries by day and the non-Apple batteries by night. Same machine, they just don't put the Apple stamp on it.
Right. Oh, I'm a little concerned that Cal just said that they're using stolen parts. I'm not sure.
No, he didn't say that.
No.
I don't know. I think it made him that much sexier.
Oh,
I didn't know I could get any sexier.
Wow.
Moving on.
Did you just get right there?
Man, ooh. I'm alive.
He slid that in real quick. So my
oh yeah, Jesus, dude.
The jokes just write themselves.
Oh man. Now, am I correct in saying that an Apple product has to be declared legacy, and that Cal, is this right that they then Apple will no longer support repairs on it?
Absolutely correct. Yeah. So if you were to walk in to an Apple store today with, for example, MacBook 13-inch Retina, it could still have an i7 processor, a 512-gig SSD, 16-gig of RAM, be a perfectly functional and usable machine. If you walk into an Apple store today, right now, globally, they will turn you away and tell you to buy a new one.
Mm-hmm.
They will repair the OS.
They will do software.
Yeah,
they will do software.
I had this with, because you remember when I took my Mac SE into Apple, just as a joke, because I knew the genius there and I knew he'd take it well. When I was talking to him about it, I was like, so seriously, you know, would, if this wasn't just a stunt, would you repair it? He said, oh yeah, I'd look at the OS for you. That's not a problem at all, because we always support our OS.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that was like, that's my policy or that's Apple's policy, but it certainly sounded more like it was Apple's policy that the OS is the OS and the OS can be supported.
And the OS,
you've got the original disk, will help you put it back in.
Yeah.
The amount of machines we get in, which are basically people saying, I was on the phone to Apple. They told me to do a pram reset, an SMC reset, boot into recovery, try and format the drive and reinstall. And it's almost always Macs that still have spinning disks. And then as soon as it gets to the point where the drive fails to format or they can't install an OS, that's where Apple go, no, sorry, you're on your own, need to buy a new one. Which I think is fair enough, to be honest. But
I did say to him, if I brought a Hackintosh in, would you reinstall, would you do the OS for me then? And he went, that's a really good question. I wouldn't help you reinstall it, but if there was something where it was a command-based function that whilst you were booted up in the software, I could do it, I would probably do it.
Yeah, but that was probably more him than Apple. Like,
oh yeah, absolutely.
More, okay.
But he was rationalizing it. No, you know, we support our OS. So if it's the OS running, then we'll support the OS running, as long as it's not the hardware that's causing the issue. So
yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
I like what Callum said, that his industry is different. People have different opinions on different degrees. Because from an Apple standpoint, it this whole right to repair thing has bothered me, that if I take it to someone who is not Callum and they mess my machine up, whether it's iPhone, Mac, whatever, and then I take it to Apple and say, well, you know, I took it to this guy and now I need you to fix it. That doesn't seem quite right to me. And so
yeah, I think, The only thing I would say to that, and this is possibly a little bit of a tangent, if you take it to Apple, there is no guarantee either. I've heard plenty of stories about when it's gone to authorized third-party service centers who are Apple-authorized partners with Apple, the closest you can work with Apple without being Apple. And they've had absolute horror stories. So I respect what you're saying. You're going to have a safer bet going to places like there. But as long as you go to a reputable business with good reviews and have a good track record and stuff like that, then 9 times out of 10, you're in safe hands. But I think that goes for any third party. I mean, you know, most of the time when it's, we're only coming in when the machine's 3+ years old, most of the time.
Have we got a subtle definition there, though, where it's right to repair versus right to refuse to repair? You'll still maintain your right to refuse a repair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
Apple don't have to repair anything.
No, that's right.
You have to make it possible for someone to repair it.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's repairable, like, I mean, we've seen with what Callum has fixed, like the iPhone, was it 6, I think?
It was an iPhone 8 Plus that got run over by a car and stuff, you know, it's...
I'm not even sure that was a repair. That was more like, I don't know.
He just went and bought another iPhone 8, and here it is. Look, brand new.
I'll give a little bit of an enterprise spin on this. You know, I work with Apple and I also work with Dell. And on the Apple side of things... Yeah, well, I have both, so that's, but pays my bills. The Apple side of things, you know, you got to go through a lot of stringent certifications. If an enterprise wants to have somebody on staff that actually is certified for hardware, then you can go through that. My company would opt not to do that because we don't have enough Macs in our environment that makes it worth the while. Now, if I go on the Dell side of things, I am certified to be able to work on a Dell product. Because we pay for a service to allow us to have access to the parts. So we can replace parts. We can, you know, I've replaced system boards in Dells many times. I don't want to because we pay for the service in order for it to be repaired by a technician. I don't have the time. I have other things to do other than be doing repairs all day long. And most enterprises are probably going to be that situation. But Apple is challenging, as we all know about getting parts and also doing repairs. And we're better off in the case of an enterprise, we know what stop right now. Yeah,
it is whiskey countdown time. We have hit.
I guess I went off too much here.
David, you're right. I mean, our company is doing the same thing, and
yeah,
I know. I mean, you know Doc, and you know probably. I don't know whether you know Jerome, but they do Apple repairs, and they like Jerome is certified. When you're certified, you get access to the parts. Like,
you do.
There's a difference there, and I mean the certification is stringent, but it's not super hard. Like, I mean, if you study a little and you try and you like sit down and do it, it's not impossible.
Right.
The difference is now that's again, correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding, at least in the UK, has always been, if you want access to parts, you have to be an Apple authorized service center. So an individual, so I can go and take an exam, become an Apple authorized service tech. Yep. I can't then order a part as Callum. I have to work for an organization.
Yeah.
Or the organization, which is Apple certified, has to buy the part, which for us means we're basically in a point where 70% of the stuff we do as a business, we can't do. So yeah, we would never ever do that.
It's a little bit more complicated than that. As an individual, like you're basically, as a technician, you're not like, you can't like repair, you can do repairs for yourself, and I think there is a way to order parts from what I've understood. But you're right, like usually you would have a business, but I mean Jerome just has his own business, so
of course
he does not have a shop. Like it's not like there's a difference then between an authorized service provider where you have a shop. Like that's, and Apple has quite a few rules there, like how you have to have like basically a business area where customers can come and all of that. So but I mean if I look down the street here to the one that I have here, like the requirements can't be that high because that
I love the story. I want to pose about a question about right to repair.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And,
okay, so here's the setup. Right, this whole right to repair thing comes out of farmers and ranchers wanting to be able to repair their John Deere tractors. and not have to have John Deere do the whole thing for them. So that's then kind of spilled out. Oh, nice. I need to get a new bottle. I think I'm about out of powers. Thank you for turning me on to that. Anyhow, so we have the right to repair original focus, which is repairing John Deere tractors. And it has spilled out to other areas, specifically people saying, well, I just want to fix my own phone or computer or whatever. So is this something where, since the scope of right to repair has grown, should this be like a multi-tier thing? For example, if you want to fix your car, or your tractor, should you be able to go to the auto parts store, buy the part, bring it home, and install it? And then with electronics, should you be able to do the same? Or should that be a situation where you can take it to whatever authorized repair center you want and have them do it for you?
Yeah, I think that's different levels. Like tractor, no, anything like that, I don't understand. Like, why not?
No, but I think I don't think in the world of repair, I don't think you can distinguish someone changing a battery in an iPhone or someone changing a whatever on a tractor.
A battery on a tractor.
Or a battery on a tractor. Like, it's not one and the same thing, but it's both people having an item. It's the
same principle.
Yeah, it's the same principle. That's the word I was
And Patrice,
for, yeah.
Don't feel bad about the fact that you know nothing about tractors. I know nothing about tractors too.
Okay, so
I love the story about Michael Dell having a proprietary and an affiliate program for components. When the guy had the dorm room two down from my cousin's husband at Texas, and it was all he sold was piles of shit. He made billions doing it, but he sold piles of shit out of his room that were completely uncontrolled.
You know, the tractor thing is interesting because we all think of tractors as, I mean, we're electronics guys. So we think, you know, it's a tractor. How tough can it be? But the world of today, tractors are like super sophisticated with the GPS. No.
With really big tires.
No, totally. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, they're more sophisticated. I mean, you know, they're the self-driving vehicles. Forget the cars.
Yeah, no.
They are self-driving vehicles that have controls to put different levels of insecticide on different parts of the fields, different irrigation systems. I mean, they are super sophisticated. And so while I don't want to run afoul of anybody who, you know, buys into the right to repair, I also can see how, you know, if John Deere doesn't want to be involved in lawsuits, and God knows David and I know enough about this stuff, they don't want to be involved in lawsuits because somebody put the wrong thing in the wrong thing and then toasted, you know, 500 acres of corn. So
Or got their arm ripped off.
Exactly.
British Tractor Network.
Yeah.
That website.
Yeah, so you know, I think somebody needs to speak up for that side of it, and say, you know, okay, if you're going to do some repairs, you by the nature of things, you're going to have to accept the responsibility for doing it, and that includes first party and third party liability and property damage.
Yeah, and I think what I would say to that is
that was close to a quote, wasn't it, Chuck? And I don't mean like air marks. Callum.
No, what I would say is I think I respect what you're saying about the third party liability element of it and the safety element of it as well. But the thing that I always get a little bit frustrated with that argument is if a company like Apple or a tractor company, I don't know any, would have said, right, okay, when a tractor gets to a certain age, we're going to release the parts. We're going to not tell people, but release the information for people to be able to fix it, or release the information to companies. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't even be having this argument because people would be very satisfied with how it is.
No,
because
No.
Well,
people would still complain about it. I think that's one of the issues I have with this whole right to repair thing. For a lot of people, it means I just want to do whatever I want with my phone. Like, I want to fix it myself. Let's face it. I mean, what Callum is doing, like, with our phones, how many of us could actually do that? Like, skill-wise. It still takes skilled people to do it.
Well, I repaired my own screen once, but I had parts left over.
So. Yeah,
exactly. So. That's the IKEA method.
It still works.
Yeah. I think the point is we could, I mean, if we wanted to, we could learn it. And that should be allowed. Like, that should be possible to, that for Callum to exist or for us to become people like Callum that could repair it if we wanted to. That should be allowed. But it does not mean that everybody and their grandmother can now fix their phones. Because those are really complicated machines and really complicated, like, electronics and so on, that you have to understand what you're doing before you do it.
You're actually at the point, Chuck, where you could, you've probably got an app that goes with your tractor, and that's the thing that would probably spread the wrong shit over your field.
It's possible. Yeah.
It could be, or it could be just the, you know, the physical gauging of things.
I mean, I think there is a certain element of having to put the shit on the back of the tractor first. And if you put the wrong shit on the back of the tractor, there is a certain, like, well, it's your own fault, mate.
Yeah, well, there's that. Would you agree that an acceptable level would be if the original if Apple, let's just, since that's what we're talking about, if Apple says, okay, as of this date, we no longer support repairs on the iPhone 6S, that's when the information and the parts and everything would become available? Or if, I guess I'm trying to see, I'm trying to take Apple's position and say, I want control of this because I don't want to deal with the people that screw it up or that are going to fix it and provide a substandard experience for my customer. But if I'm no longer supporting it, then by all means, have at it.
It would actually incentivize Apple to do it, right? I mean, that's the thing.
Because it gets those people with legacy devices out of their head. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. But they don't want want to buy a new device anyway. So
yeah, I think to a certain extent, yes. For me, that would work. For a lot of people that support the right to repair, that wouldn't work. There is a whole argument, which again is a real tough one, and I'm not sure yet. I don't have all the answers either. Where people are saying it's all very well and good saying once it's over a certain date you can release all the parts, but what if as a consumer, the person that's brought the device wants to use iMac Max rather than Apple, and it's only a year old. Where do you go then? Because it's, you know, if someone comes to me with a smashed up screen on an iPhone 12 Pro Max now, because of the nature of how the market is, I can't source a part for a reasonable price, and therefore I'm far, far more expensive than Apple. So that completely prices me out straight away because I don't have access to those parts. So it's a difficult one. I'm not sure what the right answer is. Apple definitely need to be a bit more open with stuff, especially when it gets to a certain age. But other than that, I'm not sure is my answer.
Next story then. Apple refused to repair iPhone 6S. There you go. That's amazing. No, okay. For the next several weeks, Apple's offering customers in select number of US states a tax holiday on a wide range of its products. Now, that could be quite significant, couldn't it? Because some of the places, are I know California's like 9.5% or something like that.
On a MacBook, I think that is actually a lot of money.
I mean, our sales tax.
It's almost 9% for me here in Boulder.
Yeah.
10 and 11% here.
I think Arizona 4.5.
6 here.
So cheap.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it's only 6 here.
Oh. Ours is 20, so you can all shut up.
Ours is 20, that's what I mean. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, but yours is also shown right up front, so you know what you're paying.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah, but we're still paying it.
You go in and extra difference. Unless you've done the math ahead of time, you don't know exactly what you're paying.
I must admit, when I went over to the States and started paying for things, and then you read what it is, and then you pay for it and go, what?
Yeah, no, we fell foul of that. We look at the price on this, quick, shove it in the supermarket trolley, and then we got to the checkout, and it's like, oh, shit, I forgot about sales tax.
Yeah.
I never had that problem. I know. But 20, I mean, the problem here is it's 20% and something on Apple charges on top. Because it's not the US base price converted to whatever euro pound and then 20% on top. It's more. Like an iPhone is about $150 more expensive here. Without taxes. So
that's for the mules to get so it over the Alps. So
that means it works $150 better where you are?
Totally, yes. So actually, usually it works less because there some features are not available here.
So you're going out to buy some Apple stuff this weekend?
But which states?
It doesn't. There isn't a list. Is there a list?
That would have been helpful.
Between August 6th and August 8th, has a high limit of $15. Missouri is running its between August 6th and August 8th. Apple's website. You can go to Apple's website and find out the places that are running it. Alabama, Missouri, South Carolina, and Virginia. Wow, you Northerners, you're screwed.
Oh, wow.
And you Westerners, you're screwed.
Yeah, basically.
That's all Southern Eastern states, isn't it? Is geography good enough there?
Well, Missouri's Midwest.
Yeah, Missouri's Midwest. But that means you could gang it up with other stuff and go see some awesome museums in Kansas City.
Yep.
Hear some great music. Have some incredible barbecue.
Barbecue. And read my mind.
Yep. Oh my God, amazing barbecue. And then amazing. Get your new MacBook Pro for a little bit less because you don't have to pay sales tax.
It's going to cost you, you're going to save $1,500 on your MacBook Pro, but it's going to cost you $1,500 in barbecue.
And gas.
Yep.
Gas driving there.
No, the gas becomes the cheapest element of the journey.
Yeah. Not right now.
Oh, yeah, not right now.
No.
You can coast. You can coast a fair way, can't you? Because it's downhill.
Well, yeah. For me, because I'm at a higher altitude, way. So it's basically downhill for me.
He'll be doing 1,000 miles an hour by the end of the street.
Yeah, just clear the highway for Jeff so he can just keep on going.
Look out!
That's right. Out of my way, people. It's time for barbecue and no taxes.
What was that car with a moose strapped to it? I don't know, but it's going. It was booking. An iPhone manufacturer, an iPhone case manufacturer has released these things on, I want to say Wemo, but that's wrong the answer. It's Weibo. There we go. These are supposedly the new iPhone cases for the iPhone 13 models that are coming out. So I'm guessing that's showing the Pro model on the right and then the standard model and then the SE-ish, maybe, and the Mini.
The two Pro models, the normal model and the Mini, that would be usually.
Yeah. So
Mini's supposed to go away.
Is that suggesting that actually we're not, the 13's not deviating very much at all from the 12? We've done that thing where we've kind of stepped, haven't we? And we've had two that have come in the same style and then another two in the same style and so on as we've gone through the line. And this looks like we've got zero new things coming really effectively.
I mean, that's usually, this would be the model where there is no case changes. Like the case changes were last year, so.
Yeah.
I mean, there might be there might be an extra camera, but that's about it.
I'm just trying to think whether this is a really good educated guess or whether this is just, I just push out last year's, they'll never know.
No. I mean, the timing would be right. Like, this is the time when Apple is ramping up production and when also the case manufacturers might get their hands on leaks. So
I'm quite excited about this because I'm not a big one for the rumors, but I'm on a XS Max, so it's my turn to upgrade this summer.
I will upgrade too.
I'm getting a significant enough leak, Bob would have said.
Mm.
Although I do
like a XS Max. I might upgrade.
I might. Yeah, you will. You liar.
I upgrade every year.
If I was in the US, I would definitely upgrade every year. I'm still on the upgrade program.
Upgrade program.
Yeah, I'm not on the upgrade program.
You should be. You
exist, I couldn't if I wanted to.
You and I switched 10? Over to your strategy, and I just buy my iPhone outright.
Yeah, much better. Because then you can keep it for 3 years and go, actually, I've saved myself a shit ton of money there.
You can do that with the upgrade program too. You pay it off after 2 years, and then you can do whatever you want with it. It's yours.
Jeff froze.
Yeah, everyone, Jeff is frozen.
Everyone else is fine, but Jeff's flew here. And sadly, he's not frozen in his blow up doll face either.
No. Sorry.
Yeah, he looks like he's rowing a tent on what's being said.
Yeah,
I am. I am so intent.
And while we're on the tour of rumors, fifth beta of most of the OSs has come out this week. So that's Watch OS, iPad OS, and etc.
It's not a rumor,
but I'm just going to say, how long are we before we get it then? If we're at fifth beta, that's probably about right, isn't it?
No. It's late September, early October, as always. Late September, usually. So we have another 2 months.
So there's going to be another event at which there'll be a new series of devices. No, they're not going to do devices like...
No, iPhone event.
It's an iPhone event, that's the point for that, but which works for the 15. But Big Sur, unless they're doing an event for new devices, and then there's a rumor kicking around about M2 chips, which I don't believe. But they're not going to do an event. They're not going to do two events, are they, in September? They're not going to do a combined event of phone and...
No, they're going to do what they did last year. Have an iPhone event in person or as video, and then half the month after, like a Mac event.
I don't think we'll have two events that close.
I think Patrice is right.
Yep. Really?
They did three events last year. There was
the
iPhone.
Whole year?
And there was... No, three events in fall. There was iPhone, there was Mac, and there was, what was it, iPad, I think, the last one?
Yeah, I know, but they did them separately and they were far apart.
That's what I meant.
So that's what I'm saying. They're not going to do one. They're not going to do one like a 2 weeks later.
No.
And they're not going to do a combined one, I don't think. I don't know. Because at some point, you'd want them to go, well, Big Sur's come in and here's a new line of hardware for Big Sur. Yeah. But they didn't show any hardware at WWDC. Okay. So that's then saying, right, well, we're rolling into September. Or... Are we going to have a Mac hardware in August?
I would be surprised. I mean, I'd be shocked, but yeah. If they're going to release it early, it's going to be this month, which the month is not over. I don't think it's going to be August because August is like, I mean, we're getting back into the holiday, like rhythms. People are on holidays and that would be August. So I don't think Apple's going to do that. It's either July or October.
Yeah, if they're going to do new Mac hardware, it needs to happen this month because they would want it to roll out ahead of the back to school buying window. Well, otherwise, they will do it after that.
Yeah, and if I had to guess for the Apple event, for the iPhone event, September 14th.
Yeah, well, September is a slot in, isn't it? I don't think that's going to be a debate. Go on, Chuck, you were going to say something.
Well, yeah, I agree with Jeff, except for the fact that most of the education buying stuff is for the lower end models, not for the pro models. So that's my perception. So I could see a Mac event that focuses on the MacBook Pro 16 and all those, as opposed to a low level thing. I think the low level machines are out there and. They're ridiculously great prices. So if you're in education, why wouldn't you start taking advantage of those right now?
Yeah,
they usually buy.
Right. So with that perspective added in, I don't see a new Mac hardware event happening before this fall.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, but is that like beginning of October?
October. Yeah. Okay. So September for phone, October. But are they going to release Big Sur before October, though?
You don't think? It's going to, like as always, it's going to lag behind like 2 weeks or something. Behind the others.
And the last story then, it's a very special month here in the UK, really, and across the whole of Europe, because it's definitely coming home. And I'm not talking about the European Championships and football. I'm talking about Ted Lasso. Get in! The only thing in football I'm really passionately bothered about is Ted Lasso coming back on.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait.
23rd. I've watched the little premiere thing that they've got, and they're saying that series two is as delicate and interesting and lovely as season one was. And I keep saying to Sharon, we've got to watch season one again. and I'm going to binge it.
Oh, yeah. I did. I just rewatched it.
And if they do a weekly release, I'm pissed off beyond
extreme. Oh, they're going to.
Oh, they're totally 100%. Going to do that.
I'm totally stockpiling it, though, so I don't care.
Sure.
And Apple, stop with the release. I've done Bosch, and we're nearly finished Bosch. Amazon, you know, the most popular series they've probably had in a long time. Seven series of the stuff. Tarsus Welliver is awesome in it. The script writing has never, ever gone south. It's never had a lame season the whole way through. And the seventh season comes out, boom, it's all there. Help yourself, chaps. Eight episodes, away you go. That's what you need. That's what streaming service is about. And this bollocks about releasing them. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox. There we go.
Yeah, that was a really good video they did. You don't get to see the softer side of all the actors and listening to what they have to say about the characters. I really like that video they did.
Well, a few of the actors, if you want to know what the actors are like, just watch the show because they're crap actors.
They've also done, at least in the US, they've done swag. Like you can buy, I think, t-shirts and stuff. I've heard that they're looking into international, but yeah, nothing concrete yet.
Ted Lasso's going to take over an international team next. It's going to be the American.
Can you imagine turning up to an actual football game in the UK wearing a Ted Lasso top? You'd be battered.
Jamie.
I love that.
This podcast and all this is brought to you by TSO Hosts. Awesome, awesome people there. They are fantastic. We've got a long-standing relationship with them. Sarah's been a very good supporter of the network and given us two huge services that help us deal with all the bandwidth and so on. You guys love them as well as. If you'd like to buy anything from them, then anything off your hosting basket will be BTN20 and you will get 20% off. And you couldn't be happier. What they want from you, though, is not all of that. They want you to get out onto the socials and do thanks at TSO Host, sorry, for supporting at British Tech. A few of you have stopped doing it now. You must do it because if they go, we go. Simple as that. And okay, I'll have my Friday afternoons free, but I don't really want to stop doing this just yet. Yeah, come on, get out there and please. Get the BTN army out, giving some positive reviews back for TSO Hosts. And the same thing with IMN Max. Get out there and say thanks to IMN Max supporting at British Tech because they've been a really kind supporter now for probably closing on 2 years, mate, isn't it? 18 months?
2 years, November.
2 years in November. Yeah, superb. Yeah. Patrice holding up the promotional beer mat. Mm-hmm. Come charger. Anything with an Apple logo on it, Callum will repair it along with his mate and they'll get it back to you and it'll be pristine, it'll be beautiful, and it'll work like it should, allegedly. Don't forget that if you do use the service, you must mention BTN, otherwise we don't get the credit for the repair. And it's BTN. And you'll get 5% off as well as. Callum, have we got anything special this week? A machine of the week or something like that?
Yeah, we've got plenty of iMacs in at the moment. So head over to our website. Everything is on there. Everything we have on there is in stock. If there's anything you want, let us know. We can offer new machines. We can offer leasing machines for businesses. We can source refurbs, absolutely anything we can help you out with. So let us know, and we can certainly help you.
Muller's asked, are you coming to the bash?
I have asked him previously, when is it? But he never.
Okay,
he never told me.
Are having it in a couple of weeks. It's going to be 24th-ish kind of weekend. If you'd like to come, then you need to send an email to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. But we are limiting it. We're only going to have about 35 here. Because it's at my house. So, and if you're not well known to me, you can piss off. You're not coming. You can come to the curry on the Friday night, but that's it. So curry on the Friday night and then the bash on the Saturday and then all back around for bacon rolls and coffee on Sunday morning before you'll bugger off. But Batwench is the arbiter of it all at the minute. So if you're in the Slack room, you get your pass stamped automatically. Anyone who's in the Slack room is welcome to come. But you need to ask Mo as well, because you need Mo and Joe and Francis and all that lot coming too.
I will spread the word.
At least to the Saturday, if not both. But the curry's on the Friday and the bash is on the Saturday. There we go. Right, time for the cool things. Start us off, Mr. Joyner.
Okay, throw that in the chat room. I am going to suggest this, sort of within the right to repair discussion. This is called a Gerber shard. This is a tool that you can put on your keychain. I do not put it on my keychain because it would punch a hole in my pants or my leg, but I do keep it in my backpack. And this is, I want to make sure I get it right. This is one of those multi-tool gadgets. It is airline safe. It has a small, medium. Yep.
You put that in the hands of someone who knew what they were doing, mate. That either half the plane did.
Well, it could be a problem, but you know, they say it's airline safe.
Same with a ballpoint pen.
Yeah, exactly.
And I just flew with this and had no trouble. But it's got small and medium flathead screwdriver, Phillips head screwdriver, wire stripper, pry bar, bottle opener, and the obvious lanyard hole. And I tell you, you can't believe how many times I've pulled this out. I just pulled this out on vacation because when I got to my hotel room, I found that almost all the screws on the security chain on the bracket had come out. And so it was providing no security at all. And so I tightened them all down and was able to sleep a lot better. But I, you don't travel with screwdrivers and all, but you travel with this and you've got a lot of things that you can fix with it.
I always do it to take the window restraints off.
Well, you can do that too with this.
Because every time I go to a hotel, it always pisses me off that you can only open the window like a centimeter, half an inch or something, and then that's it. It's you're still, you're like, come on, it's July, guys. There's no air conditioning. Sod off. I'm on the fifth floor, so I open wide.
Well, they don't want you jumping out of you.
Oh, there's better ways to go than watching the ground rush up. Oh, mate.
But this is $7 on Amazon right now, US. And I throw it in my pack and it's always with me. And it is super, super useful. So
currently unavailable in the US store from what I'm seeing here. Color silver. Oh. There is an option that goes up to £31.12 or something, but there's one at £5.99 as well.
I just put a UK link in for £13.
Oh, right. Okay. Excellent.
I don't know. It shows available. The link I threw in shows available.
I can get it tomorrow.
So, yeah. So
£13, David, Gerber Sharp tool. I do quite like that, actually. Yeah, good point to talk about Smile as well. Smile.amazon.co.uk. If you would like to, we have a chosen charity here at the BTN, which is Free at Last in Neatshalls in Birmingham. It's a fantastic charity that looks after a lot of kids, gives them a different view of life. There's kids literally who've mature teens and have never seen the sea. And Free at Last is all about getting them out and giving them a taste of something that they wouldn't normally get. We give 5% of our income for one of the jobs that they got for us for the cameras to them. And if you change your Smile notification to Free at Last as your chosen charity, then it won't be much, but it's better than nothing. And that you get great thanks from me and from John Street, who runs the charity. They're superb people. Thank you. Cheers for that, Callum. Jeffrey, what's yours, mate?
Mine, and I should probably apologize in advance, Chuck, Dave, I probably just cost you $27.99. But I've been on the hunt for a little adjustable like desktop stand for all of my iPads, because sometimes I just need a stand for, you know, depending on which iPad I'm using. And I found this thing. And $27.99 on Amazon, and it's aluminum, and it will hold all of my iPads. So let me see if I can pop this in here.
It's holding an iPad version 1 there.
There you go. So it's stable enough that it will hold a 12.9-inch iPad, and I've used it with my iPad Mini and my 10-inch iPad. And this thing is stable, so I can tap on the screen and it's not wobbly, and it folds up. So
holds a MacBook as well.
Oh,
according to the pictures just shown, it holds a MacBook. So
So it folds up like this, and it has a little carrying pouch if you want to take it around with you. And I bought it thinking, oh well, you know, this will be okay to just for those times when I really want to have an iPad on my desk without like the Folio keyboard on it or whatever. And it turns out this thing is really great for just like all the time use.
Callum, did you find a UK link for that? No.
If you want to find a UK link, literally press it and just go .com and then put .co.uk instead.
Fair enough.
Currently unavailable.
Oh, there's a surprise. Jolly good. Excellent pick, mate. Patrice, what have you got for us?
I'm going to pick an app, and spoiler alert, it is on setup. It's iStat Menus. If you like me, still have one of the like fan machines, aka the Intel machines, like the ones that run the fan all the time, then this might be really helpful. For me, it is. I have like this machine here is a Core i9. It's running hot like all the time, so it's always good to like have keep an eye on it, like how much CPU is what using, and the graphics card especially seems to be power hungry when it's connected to external displays and so on. So it just gives you a really, really detailed overview of everything going on. Like, I don't know how many fans this thing has, but it lists a lot of them. So, yeah.
Excellent.
There's a lot of it. And it's a set. You can buy it separately, but it's a set app, so why not use it?
Cool. And Dave G, what have you got for us, mate?
I have got this program called Transloader, and I lost my link here, sorry. It is an app that's allows you to be able to initiate downloads from your iPhone or iPad and other Macs if you're away from your Mac. So whether you're away from your Mac, your iPhone, your iPad, there's a time you might want to download something on your Mac and you're not in reach of, that's where this comes into play and lets you send links as long as your Mac's online and be able to initiate the download. They give a good example. It's like when you're downloading Xcode and you know how long that takes to download, you can do that. So it is $10 in the Mac App Store, but it's in setup. So that means it's included. And the accompanying iOS app is free. And that was a cool little app, being able to initiate downloads when you need to. You can also do PDFs as well. So that was cool.
It's really cool.
Excellent. No, good pick, like that. Callum, what's yours?
So my pick this week is a dual pane file manager called Commander One. I've used it this week for a sort of tricky, it wasn't tricky, but it was a data migration we had to do. The customer's OS was faulty, so we had to rebuild it. I was trying to copy out their user folder and there was loads of corrupted documents in. And if you do it in Finder, every time it finds one, and if it finds one it can't copy, it will cancel the whole copy, or you have to sit there and press skip over every single one. With that, all I did was I set up a rule to say, if you can't copy it, just ignore it, just automatically skip everything you can't do. And it just meant I didn't have to be sat there pressing a button repeatedly. Right. I could just get on with it.
Nice. And it's free.
Yeah. No, good one like that. Michael like Thing that is the MyGP app. Now, if you're an American, stiff shit. You should have a national health service. It's not going to work for you. But the MyGP app is a new app from the NHS. And basically, it connects you directly to your GP surgery, your general practitioner who will see you when you've got a cough or a sniffle. You can book virtual appointments or real appointments on the app as well. You can send messages to your GP. And if you're ordering repeat prescriptions, then the prescriptions that you're normally on, they'll put on there and you just order it through. Now I had a spell in hospital, as you know, back at the start of the year. And I suffer terribly with trying to get repeat prescriptions through because I use the Echo app here in the UK, which is just the greatest dog that ever grew legs. It is awful. And the local surgery said, why don't you go to my GP? And it took a couple of days to get everything migrated over and stop a couple of the prescriptions. But now I get my prescriptions smooth as silk. It is so easy. You just go on and you're done. It's way better than Echo. Stay away from Echo because it's a bag of shite.
That's awesome.
Second that.
My GP app. All you got to do is do that and it goes to NHS and you can download it. Where can we get a hold of you, Chuckley?
MacVoices.com is where you'll find me. I'm spinning things back up after vacation, and Mac Voices Live will be back on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, with some of the usual suspects.
I was going to say, you look like you're going for a record on the last one that I saw posted on Facebook.
Well, it was, yeah, they got a little rambunctious on me, but, you know.
I had trouble controlling four.
Yeah, I know. I know. 40. And yeah, and some of those others, Americans, are crazy.
Well, and I was just about to say, and add Gamont into that. Jesus.
and I'm on socials as at Chuck Joyner. So thanks for having me, Ewan. Good to be back.
Always a pleasure, mate. Always a pleasure. Jeffrey, where are you, buddy?
I'm on YouTube and Instagram, jgamut, both places, and on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/jgamut. And here on the Mac Show, Thursdays on the Big Show, Tuesdays most of the time on Mac Voices Live. Later today on In Touch with iOS with Dave and Patrice.
Ah, and we love having you, mate. Patrice, where are you?
Well, I'm here every week on the Mac Show on a Friday and the Big Show on a Thursday. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links and projects and whatnot, you can find on thepatrice.com. And my podcast is Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com, where I talk to interesting people about really cool food stuff. And as you said, Nick, I'm with David on In Touch with iOS, and in the next couple of weeks I'll probably also be on Mac Voices again. I have at least a plan. Let's see. I have to find a day that I can take off because it's really late.
Why didn't you say Kelly's doing the food one?
Kelly is doing the next one, yeah. I have to edit, but we recorded it last week.
Because it's 4 hours.
No. Actually, no. It was like we were on point. Like
you can tell her I said that. She won't mind.
No, she doesn't.
Won't mind at all.
No, it was good, like a good hour. So talked about a lot of really interesting things.
Awesome. And Dave, where would you be?
Again, In Touch with iOS, intouchwithios.com. As Jeff mentioned, yeah, Patrice will be on the show for the very first time later today, along with Jeff. I'm so looking forward to it. A couple hours here. You also find me on Mac Voices Live, usually on Tuesday nights, but I missed it. And our vacations were alternate, so I will miss next week, but I will be back the following week and always look forward to that. Here on the Mac Show, and then on Twitter, you can find me at DaveG65. Thanks for always for having me, Ewan.
Okay. And Callum, where are you, mate?
Yeah, you can get hold of us and everything we do at immmax.com. We're on all the usual socials at immmax. I'm on Twitter at O'Hara Callum. I'm in the Slack room. If you've got any questions, anything you need help with, please reach out. We're always happy to do what we can for people.
Excellent. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, and you can follow the network at British Tech. We'll be back again next week. Big Show on Thursday night, Mac Show on Friday afternoon, and the weekend will start. Oh, yes. Have a really great weekend, and thanks for listening.